Justin, I know you have a weakness for yogurt and holiday cookies. It seems that I have a weakness for seltzer. I've become an old Jewish man all of a sudden. I was once a young Jewish man.
All of a sudden. Because suddenly, overnight, when the full moon strikes.
Now, isn't that called a bar mitzvah?
Yes.
All I can drink is seltzer, and all I can think is, how do these young kids drink regular Coca-Cola? It's so sweet.
It's a hard seltzer. So seltzer is just like, it's just carbonated water, right? It's just sparkling water?
Yeah.
And Jewish people like it more?
Oh my God, do Jewish people, it's that and salmon basically are the two things that power us as a people.
But now you're into it, right? So it's just the way of life.
It's fascinating to me. They should do like a Richard Attenborough documentary on the life and attitudes of Jews in Manhattan.
So really Russ, fresh take for you. Every day's great at your Jewness.
Nine people are enjoying that.
I get that joke now.
10 people got the joke, but didn't find it very funny. Yeah. And like 30 people got the joke and were offended by it.
Yeah, it was super offensive.
But that means that like 50 people are listening. And I'll take that.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and it's time for the final countdown.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I'm in the Sweet 16.
My name is Rose Rostick, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like my final countdown was a little pitchy.
Okay.
Can I do it? Can I try it again? Can I maybe go drink some sweet tea?
I want to move on. Welcome to our the Bestie Super Sweet 16 Spectacular, where we lay out the 16 games that will do battle in our contest to see which game reigns supreme. A few are already assured. We will reveal the rest right now, and then we will decide on one final super sweet wild card that will not have much of a shot.
Why is everything so sweet? Is this show a tie-in with MTV's My Super Sweet 16? Did correct. Our daddy buy us all new dresses?
It's a cross
dresses?
Promo.
Okay. I love you,
it's Dad. Transmedia. Love you, Dad. Guys, what of our... Before we get into business, and I do consider it that, business, has anybody been playing anything for fun this week?
I think we should catch up, because for the first time, I think all of us have been playing two of like the last two winners, 100% of the last two winners in a row.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
I mean, let's not spend too much time on Persona because I feel like we've exhausted it pretty.
Hey, you've been dipping. Persona 4 is great. If you haven't played it, you should. It is a 10.
But make sure you set aside a week and a half to get past the boring part.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. So I've been playing a lot of last week's winner, Far Cry 3. And by a lot, I mean,
yes.
I played for 18 hours and made myself sick on it, on the game. Because it's so good.
It is very good.
Really good.
I feel like I have a few issues with it, though. Okay. I like it a lot, and it really is like scratching the open world itch for me in a way that I don't think any game has this year. I like the gunplay and all that, but like I was sold on it last week as being like a good stealth game, and there are some problems with the game that make it not a very good stealth game. But that is like so what the game is focused on. Like you get more experience if you clear out a camp stealthily, and you get more experience for just killing a guy stealthily, and all the takedown combo stuff. It's all sort of built around that gameplay loop, but there are some problems with it. And what's interesting is whenever I talk to somebody who's been playing it on PC, it doesn't sound like a PC problem. My biggest problem with it, I'm playing it on Xbox 360, my biggest problem is that the manual saves are a fucking joke. Like, they just don't work. They don't work at all.
What do you mean?
Are any of you guys playing it on console?
Yeah, I'm playing it on console.
Okay, so on Xbox 360, the manual save option, first of all, is turned off when you're in a mission, which is bonkers. So in a mission, it just defaults you to these sort of arbitrary checkpoints, and in some of the missions, the checkpoints are, like, crazy spaced out.
That's funny, because I beat the game and I never came upon a mission where, like, I kept dying and getting sent back, like, really far.
What difficulty were you playing on?
Normal.
Okay. I've been having that a lot. And outside of a mission, you can use the manual saves, but as far as I know, they just don't auto-load. Like, okay, so you get to an encampment, right? And there's so many encampments to clear out, so you auto-save, right? And then you get out your camera and you scope out all the people, and then you auto-save, or you manual save. And then you sneak into the camp and you clear out a few guys and you get to a good place and you manual save. And then all of a sudden somebody sees you and kills you. It doesn't load up your latest manual save. It loads up this arbitrary checkpoint to, like, when you first got to the place, and you have to do all of that shit all over again.
Yeah,
and
there are no manual saves. It's essentially...
But that's the thing. It gives you
all
the
you're
option.
Saving is the progress of, like, how many missions have I done? How many, like, items do I have in my backpack? You're not saving, like, where you are in the world.
That's right. I read something online. I haven't tried this yet. But if you load back to the main menu and then manually load, you can load your manual save. But fuck that noise, because, like, I don't want to spend...
I think you could, like... It never occurred to me to try to play it that way. That's really weird. Like,
yeah,
well, I would never try to, like, if an engagement didn't work, I just would die and try it again.
Right.
Like, I don't understand this trying to save halfway through. Like, doing a base is like, you're talking about like a 2-minute gameplay loop.
Right. But we are also, it's also much longer than that. If you try to take an encampment without anybody seeing you, it's a really difficult process.
10 minutes at most.
I think that's the key, though. I agree that, like, when I said it was a good stealth game, I think maybe I should be more specific and say it's a really good guerrilla warfare game. I don't think it's like trying to be Metal Gear Solid in any capacity, where the fun is trying to, like, slowly kill every single guy without being seen. I think it's like, I'm going to set an elaborate series of booby traps and try to kill everyone before.
But that's fine and everything. But if you set that elaborate series of booby traps, and it takes you, you know, 5 minutes to get everything set up, and then for some reason shit goes wrong and you die, it starts you back over to before you did any of that shit. And, like, after
you've
done
that, which is fine, because I think the game, another thing that I like about it, which goes to this guerrilla warfare thing, is that I think when, like, a stealth action sort of goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most stealth games, generally, that's what you would do. You would reload the save. But there are actually a lot of techniques that come into play once, you know, you've been discovered, like, you know, shooting a cage open and letting the lion kill everyone.
Or breaking, and, like, you can continue, actually, the stealth gameplay is not even, like, actually a good bit of nomenclature for that, because it's actually closer, like, you can break sight lines and then get that flow going again. So it's not like
somewhere
else. You know, the alarm is tripped off, so now I have to go loud. You can vacillate between, like, hiding in the bushes and waiting for them to come to you, or you know, climb up a roof and jumping and getting a stealth takedown that way.
The sightline stuff is actually pretty good, and that's, like, the biggest problem that I have with stealth games is you can never actually know when you are hidden. And this game has a very elegant way of, like, letting you know how you're doing stealthily. And, like, if you kill a few guys and people start seeing bodies, then they're going to notice you a lot faster. Like, all that makes a lot more sense. There's other stuff, like, the takedowns for me were really, like, hit or miss. Like, I was never quite sure. I would be hiding around a corner, somebody would walk into a room, and then for no reason at all, I just wouldn't get the prompt to do a takedown. Right. And then they would see me, and then once they see you, unless you can, like, get behind them or break sight lines, like, you're fucked. And that is the kind of thing that is super frustrating, where if you spend a long time setting up this stealthy sequence to take out an encampment and it goes wrong because the prompt to stab somebody to death, like, for some reason just doesn't pop up when you need it to, like, that is the worst for me. That's the most frustrating. And there's other, like, weird stuff about the prompts not appearing. Like, whenever you have to climb one of the towers and you have to climb up the netting, like, That whether or not you can make that jump is sort of based on whether or not that prompt shows up, and sometimes it just doesn't show up, which is another, like, really frustrating.
I just wanted to say another interesting thing about the game. This isn't a complaint, but I would say the only white person that's not a colossal douchebag in this game is the German guy.
Yeah.
And I found that rather interesting.
Yeah.
He's technically an American, but go on.
I want a lot. I like... I think I just want a few more things than Far Cry 3 than it's willing to give me. I'm also not crazy about the progression system. I have twice now gotten to points where I had unlocked basically everything that I wanted and couldn't unlock the other shit that I wanted because I just hadn't gotten far enough in the storyline. So I would just like rack up 6 or 7 skill points from leveling up that just like I didn't really want to spend on anything. And if people are going to compare this to Skyrim, and I know that Chris Plant loves that comparison, but in Skyrim, every time you get a point, you know exactly where you're going to spend it. And you feel like this, you know, super specialized guy.
Yeah, I think the issue is that, like, it tells you, oh, you can't unlock these skills yet because you need to do more missions. But there's no sense as to, like, how many more missions you need to do.
Right.
You're just sort of like, I was did what you did, which was like hoard the skill points until I can finally use the
I want to spend those in the stealth tree. But until you get like a few hours into the game, there's only like 3 or 4 stealth abilities available to you. You're going to rack up like 10 points. And they're like, well, you can go spend them in those other trees. It's like, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to be the long range combat guy. I want to be the stealth guy. Please just let me spend these points where I want to spend them.
I do think that is designed in a way that it wants to make you the all-around soldier. Like, it's giving you the option to kind of play how you'd like at certain points and making that available to you immediately. But ultimately, it wants you being in proficient.
Right. Well, and they're also very generous.
I think they're very generous with the experience. Why have
branching skill trees? Like, why say this is the stealth tree, this is the takedown tree, this is the long range tree? Like, why even
that way you can get them in the order that you prefer,
I guess. But even then, like,
I mean, I agree that that's a problem, and I agree there are many small problems with this, and there's even a big one, which I think is the boss fight in the middle of the game, which is
awful. That was bad.
The story definitely.
I don't know which boss fight you're talking about because they've all been.
Yeah, we don't
bad.
Want to say who it's with because that's a big spoiler.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
say it, but you'll know it when you get there. You use a bow and arrow and it's preposterous.
Oh yeah,
and it's pretty offensive too. But I don't know. I'm always weary to go after a game because of what it isn't. And I feel like some of these criticisms are leaning towards that, where it's like, I agree it could have zigged when it zagged, but I don't really hold that against the game. I do, like the button prompts, though.
When they come at me with official marketing slang taken from a review where they say it's like Skyrim with guns, that instills in me certain expectations.
Oh, but that's not the developer's fault.
I mean, it's not the developer's fault, you're right, but like, I don't know. When I see branching skill trees, I expect that I will have this, you know, customizable soldier, and like the way I play through the game won't be the same way that anybody else plays through the game. And I don't think
that's not the case.
That's not the case at all. And that was genuinely disappointing for me.
Hey guys, can I talk about a game that everyone loved and I just finished last night?
What was it?
Persona 4.
I finished it. I spent the last 80 hours of my life.
Did you know that yesterday was a weird 80-hour day? It was 80 hours long the entire day.
They called it Persona Day. Mm-hmm.
So what'd you play?
I played Spec Ops The Line. Hmm. And I feel like we talked about this game maybe a little.
I don't even remember.
Maybe it was before.
I think it was before.
I mean,
that game came out in like
2008. A lot of people, I've got a lot of requests, not a lot, but I've gotten some requests from people to talk about it on the show before, because there is this kind of cult of fans that have formed around this game being, you know, the greatest story video games have seen in a decade, which is a real thing. I've seen a few people say, and I can attest to not being true. But just to catch you up on, for those who don't know much about it, it's a third-person military shooter set in Dubai after a crazy sandstorm. And the general story is basically Heart of Darkness, Apocalypse Now. You are commanding a small troop of guys, basically two and you, who are going into the heart of Dubai to find this Colonel Nelson, who you think has gone rogue.
I think you just gave a major spoiler.
No, I don't think that. I think that's the first thing they say.
Oh, okay.
And so it's very
unclear.
You think
he's gone rogue?
And I don't know. In the first, honestly, I finished the game and it's still, in the first 15 minutes, you start shooting American soldiers, and you proceed to just kill Americans for pretty much the rest of the game, while your sidekicks tell you how awful that is, and you say, I don't have any other choice.
Hey, watch it, buddy. You're an American, too. You could be
that
next.
Really is. They're like, hey, don't do that. And you're like, hey, we're doing what we're doing. And then, like, 5 minutes later, they'll be like, this is awesome. Shoot him in the face. I'm like, okay. You change your opinion constantly. But then the rest of the game is you doing – is basically committing war crimes. And as the game goes – as it progresses, the crimes get worse. And you are supposed to feel awful for these things you're being forced to do because there's no other option. You have to do them. And then at the end, it's kind of like, get it? It's video games. Like, that's the
just the screen goes actually black and in giant white letters. Did you get this? Did you get it? Do you understand?
It's video games.
It's a metaphor, idiot.
There are these little things that pop up during the load screens that everybody was cheering about. And they're awful. Like, about 90% of the way through the game, you'll die, and the load screen will appear, and instead of giving you a tip, they'll be like, do you feel like a hero now? And it's like, no, I don't feel like anything.
I feel impatient.
You kill all those innocent people. I don't know why you did.
I feel like they are a little more proud than they should be, and they sort of jam it in your face how proud they are of the story.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
yeah.
I mean, BioShock obviously had that same idea of, like, well, you have no control over what you're doing because it's a video game. Mm. But they didn't necessarily, like, pat themselves on the back for it.
It wasn't, like, constantly, like, have you ever thought, what if we're the aliens? Like, okay, I get it, Spec Ops.
On top of this, so even if you were doing that, maybe that's fine. I personally think it's a little heavy-handed. But then there's a twist at the end that undercuts the entire thing, where they're basically, like, all the oomph that we've built up, you know, you are the player, the player is you.
It was an autistic boy's dream.
Don't worry about it. Not really that big of a problem. Just forget it ever happened. And it's like, oh, okay, great. I'm glad I spent that 4.5 hours playing your entire campaign.
So since you mentioned it, I do want to talk a little bit about, just go back to Far Cry's story, because I feel like it's very similar in terms of, like, the bass overtones. Like, obviously Heart of Darkness was a big inspiration for it. But it sort of goes the other way, where the story doesn't really go anywhere. I'm not going to ruin anything, but, like, you keep expecting these, like, weird psychological twist things to continue throughout Far Cry 3, and they really don't. It, like, just becomes a pretty rote shooter by the end.
Kirk Hamilton at Kotaku made a great point for a twist that isn't in the game, so I'm not spoiling anything. But if the bad guy who's on the cover of the box...
Which game are you talking about?
You, Far Cry 3.
Okay.
If you, the white guy, the preppy white guy, and the bad guy who's on the box and all the commercials were just the same
right
person,
so that's what I was sort which of ready is, for.
Which I still think would have sucked.
It would have been bad, but at least it's something marginally unexpected. I mean, the story is flat for the second half of the game. Like, it does not go anywhere you don't think it's going to go.
Yeah. We'll get into it when we start talking about the games that are on the list, but I do want to make a note here that Hotline Miami does what both of these games tried to do, cheaper and 1,000 times better. Mm. That's something that we'll have to talk about when we actually get to the list.
Let's,
but it's crazy how much it hits all of these.
Let's get into it right now, because that's pretty germane, because Hotline Miami was our highest voted upon game in the poll. So it has joined the Sweet 16,
yep, right,
as a community choice.
Along with two others.
Along with two others and one we're going to pick later. So congratulations, Hotline Miami. You did it. You're not a real – you're an indie game. You're not a real AAA. But, you know, we'll see.
You're not a game.
You're not like a video game as much as you are like
it. That's cute what they did there. They made themselves a game.
They did
good
art,
for them.
But that's
any
fine
game where they, like, 3 weeks after, like, what about controllers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that's really a video game. It's like in my favorite video game, Call of Duty, any – you can use a controller with all those, like, day one, basically.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are the worst. That game controls just fine on keyboard. It's not
no,
his
my
fault.
My fingers don't know anything about video. The only thing my fingers know how to do is shoot people.
Mm-hmm.
These digits.
If they made a keyboard with triggers on it, then Justin would be good.
That would be sick.
Maybe a keyboard that you could hold. You wrap your hands
around.
Our
second highest vote getter.
Well, should we talk about Hotline Miami in
a way that's not shitty?
I am actually going to go, before we have our finals, I'm going to go back and play it with the controller. Because
I need to
that is
finish
largely
it.
And I need to play it back. At all.
Yeah, like, I do too.
Played it.
It's quick, and you should finish the whole game if possible.
All right. Well, we should all dip into it, but Plant, you enjoyed it a lot, right?
Yeah, I think it, like Spec Ops, is a game that is about violence in video games and talks about that by being incredibly violent. But in terms of, you know, talking about the player's responsibility in playing these games and kind of what we expect these games to make us do, it's just so much more subtle. And it's not subtle. It's like, it's still pretty obvious what it's trying to say. It pretty much writes it on the screen. But it's not like Spec Ops where it literally says, you know, are you not happy? Have you not killed enough? Why aren't you turning off this game? And it doesn't have any awful twist at the end where you want to make sure the game just never appears on your hard drive ever again.
Lovely.
We'll have more to say about it on the finale.
I'm gonna play. I plan on playing it more. I've played, I think, everything so much. I'm so tired of playing video games, guys. I've played everything.
Can we write about food for a while? I always want to eat.
I'm looking at this. The only one of these I haven't touched, and or touched to completion, is SSX. I didn't touch SSX.
Oh, you gotta get that.
I think that's okay.
I know myself well enough. I'm sure it's very good. It's just not. It's
so
just not
we should
for me.
Clarify. These are all the picks, essentially. So we had our 12 picks, and these are the picks that people voted on.
So we had,
that didn't make our 12.
We had 12 that we had pushed back to the Hall of Fame, meaning if it had stayed as our favorite game for more than like 2 weeks or so, sometimes 1 week, we would push it into the Hall of Fame. So we have 12 games throughout the year that are in contention. Three from the community, and then one that we're going to pick on this app. The second game is
Mass Effect 3. That's okay. I guess a lot of people like Mass Effect 3.
It's a very good game, and like I don't remember what game we put up that
Journey.
Journey
and,
beat it.
In retrospect, I maybe would have done it the other way around.
No,
in retrospect, I probably like Mass Effect better. I think we're all swept up in the magic of Journey. It really whipped us away to
also
a different
still
land.
Swept up. We were swept up in how shitty the ending of Mass Effect 3 was. Which
maybe let that color our judgment.
It was super shitty, and it is better post-update. It genuinely is. I don't know if you guys... Have you guys watched or played
Yeah, I watched
anything?
It.
It fixes... It addressed a lot of the problems I had with it, but like that would be great if I hadn't played it before. And that just tempered my feelings about the game so much, because like... divorced from all of the hype and all of the, you know, crazy internet mass thinking, like it really was a disappointment.
Well, not only that, I would say I honestly believe that Mass Effect 3 is not as good of a game as Mass Effect 2, and that definitely colors my opinion of it.
I disagree. I think every other aspect of Mass Effect 3 I thought was an improvement. I thought the combat was fantastic.
Was fantastic, but I thought the story overall and like the mission structure, it just didn't feel as memorable as Mass Effect 2.
I don't know. Mass Effect 2's story structure was so like, here in this first part of the game, you're recruiting these people. And then in the second part of the game, you're recruiting these people. And then there's ending.
But then you're learning these like interesting backstories for each character, whereas this was essentially like, go here and recruit a bunch of people. Go here, recruit a bunch of people. There was no like depth to it.
Yeah.
It was all very surface. Burn.
You burnt me. I got burnt.
I did.
Burnt. You're burnt.
I think it stands an okay chance. I think
yeah, I think it's worth
I think it really is
back.
A phenomenal game, and like the entirety of the game, when you look at it as a whole package, like it was good. And there were some really truly extraordinary moments in the game, especially if you got like real deep into the characters and real deep into the lore. And those parts of the game are so strong that I feel like even though the ending was a kind of a disaster, it makes up for it.
Our final contender for from the fan wild cards is a little game called Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2.
Shoot porn.
Who? What?
Shoot
porn.
Shoot porn.
Okay. I thought you said shoe porn, and I was like, I don't remember that being an element in the game.
That's me at Zappos.
Oh,
look at all these pairs.
Please hang on.
Love these pairs.
Free shipping.
Free shipping? Don't mind if I do. Some snappy pumps with some curb appeal.
Yikes.
Like it.
All this enthusiasm, you can't understand why we didn't pick these games.
Mass Effect 3 is better than Journey. Journey, I think we got caught up at the end. When Journey was like, think of any wish in your heart, and it'll be granted.
But it doesn't say that. There's no dialogue in Journey.
That's what happens at the end of Journey, if I remember correctly.
You made your own dialogue.
The thing with Journey, you get away from it, and you get cynical. Think about how you felt when you were actually playing it, and like...
My heart swims when I think about your dark, cold heart
and actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Bitch, if I was capable of doing that, I'd still be collecting garbage pail kids. Like, that's not how the human mind works.
Oh, you're so sour.
Now you're thinking Sour Patch Kids.
It won Game of the Year at the VGA, so it's not indie anymore. So we don't like it.
Don't you pay attention to anything?
If it's Walking Dead.
Walking Dead won Game of the Year.
It won Best PS3 game, though, and that's still pretty not indie.
And
it won Best Indie Game.
And Best and PS3 Game.
And that's really indie.
It's pretty indie, I guess.
None of that's an arbitrary distinction.
Well,
let's talk
about Borderlands 2, because the fans like it.
The fans do like it. I liked it a lot for the first, like, 8 hours or so.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too.
And then, like, it was just numbers. It was just... And this is coming from somebody who played WoW for... hundreds of hours. Like, the grind of Borderlands 2 just got to be a little bit too much for me. I will probably want to go back to it at some point, and to be honest, I think the problem is that I was trying to play through a bulk of the game single player, which is ill-advised.
A mistake, yeah.
Guys, I have to tell you about Bioshock Infinite really quick.
What?
Because
why is this related?
Numbers, no, it is related. The numbers from Borderlands are in Infinite now. So when you shoot people, they bleed numbers.
No way.
The most distracting thing. They have a large health bar over their head, and then they bleed numbers.
I'm sure you could turn that off.
You can. It was the first thing I did, but it looks awful. It's like they built this beautiful world, and at the beginning it was like the screen was just covered in numbers.
There did, for the record, there were health bars in the first Bioshock.
Yes, there were. I turned those off too.
Yeah. Before we get into picking our wild card, can we have a fun diversion where we talk about the VGA winners?
We don't want to talk about Borderlands anymore.
I think we should talk about Borderlands more. But
okay, God, like, they're shooting.
The fans love it.
Fans don't know anything. That's not why they're
this
not
is
on
my
the show.
Attitude. I want to say something about Borderlands too. My attitude is basically what Griffin said. I do want to give props to the writing, because I think the writing is pretty
great. It's exceptional. It's the best games writing that happened this year. Or it's up there.
It's up there. I would agree. Yeah. It's up there. It's very funny. And the world, like, design-wise, I think looks really cool.
And it's a very tight, like, technically, it's a very tight shooter. And for what it is fantastic. But, like, I just
can't... It just doesn't go anywhere.
I can't get into the... Open every chest that you run into every 10 feet and hope that maybe there's a blue gun inside of it this time. And maybe the numbers will be a little bit high. Like, that crawl, it's the same reason why Diablo 3 isn't on our list. And it's like, why I just couldn't get past the first, like, 10 hours of Diablo 3. It's like, I am just not interested in that type of game anymore. Like, Diablo 3 was a phenomenal game for what it was in that genre. And Borderlands 2 is the same way. I can't.
You just need to advance it. Like, you compare that to the original Borderlands, and it does not feel all that. Like, obviously, the writing's better, but in terms of the overall game, it feels pretty much the same game. Mm. Like, skill trees feel pretty similar. You can't vary your character that much. It just doesn't.
Well, this
feel
game adds
that
a lot of
different.
Stuff, like the kits. Like, you can change. You can make your. Like the turret class, you can make him like an engineer or a commando with those special
kits. Yeah, you could do that too in the last game though, but it doesn't feel like a drastic, like, for example, in Diablo 2, for example, you could make like, oh, I'm going to do all summoning, or I'm going to do, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as narrow, like you can't diverge that much.
Yeah. I really do want to go back and play it.
I actually liked where it was going. I wish I'd had a better ability to dismiss some of the side quests. Like, I'm incapable of ignoring them.
Yeah. You can't actually hide them.
I just wish they were laid out in such a way that it made it easier to do a bunch of them. Like, yeah, I couldn't handle the going to a place, doing a mission, coming back and turning it in, and then realizing there was another mission objective, like, 10 right. feet from
they
me
don't,
at that time.
They don't show up on your map unless you have them, like, selected to be tracked. So, like, you can do that, but you have to go one by one and track a quest, look at it on the map, then go back to the quest menu, track another yep. quest, go back to your... Like, it doesn't make any sense. And that really was a big issue for me, too. But...
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement.
Good luck, Borderlands.
You're a good game, Borderlands. Don't let anybody take that away from you. You got as much chance as anybody. I actually like Borderlands. That's one of the few on this list that I actually did enjoy. I just thought it had some structural problems that didn't compel me to finish it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is the best way. To completion.
Right.
Oh, my.
Let's say to completion as much as we can.
Should we take a break before talking about what our picks
sure.
our yeah, wild card potentials are?
I think we owe the VGAs a little attention. I think we should break them off a piece.
Yeah, you want to throw it out?
Let's go. I have the list pulled up here. All the winners.
Justin, you didn't watch the VGAs. Yeah,
this is my first year, I think, ever not watching the VGAs, actually.
Man.
It seemed like kind of a slow year as far as the announcements go. I'm at this point now where, like, I like to see things announced, but I don't really – if it's something that I know I want to play, like, Infinite's a good example. If it's something I know I want to play, like, I'll just hang – and try to avoid coverage.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get so... Doing what we do, you get so drenched in the stuff. Oh, my God. Okay, some of these are crazy. All right. Game of the year, Walking Dead.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
It's best performance by a human male.
Got it.
By the way, what's his name? Michael Pachter, before the show,
oh
was like,
God.
Never in a million years. Can we all agree that Michael Pachter cannot be listened to for anything ever in terms of, like, a reliable source?
He gave me a great shrimp taco recipe once.
best performance by a human male, Damon Clark in Borderlands 2 as Handsome Jack. Yeah, I can dig that.
Sure.
He did
it. Oh, when they gave him that award on the red carpet, which was great. Yeah. They handed him the vector monkey, which was painted in all matte black, right? And they handed it to him and they said, congratulations, you won for best performance by a human male. He was like, is this a joke? This looks like shit. And they're like, no, you really won. And he was like, come on, get out of here. This isn't real. And they were like, no, we promise. And I was so uncomfortable that I turned to ash where I was sitting. I turned into a cloud of smoke and disappeared from the room so I wouldn't have to watch anymore. The award looked so shitty he didn't believe it was real and that he had won. But to his credit, why the fuck were they giving out awards on the fucking red carpet before the show? Because that's pretty crazy.
Speaking of things that are crazy that made me want to die, I got subjected to Jessica Alba saying how much she liked Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was...
Hey, you know what? I'm not saying anything about Jessica Alba, and I'm not saying anything about celebrities, and I'm not saying anything about the relationship with video games. I didn't like Dark Souls that much. Like, you didn't play Dark... I didn't like Dark Souls, and I love Dark Souls.
Right.
You did not like Dark Souls.
But we're skipping over the bigger news, which is that Dark Souls 2 got announced, which...
Oh, my God. Yes. I realized, watching that trailer, that Dark Souls has a place in my heart, apparently, that even I didn't know it possessed. Like, I watched that, and, like, I was moved. And here's the craziest thing. I didn't finish Dark Souls 1. I got to a point with Dark Souls 1 where I was like, okay, I get it. I have to move on with my life. I can't do this with you anymore.
Yeah.
But it's still, I'm weirdly still obsessed with it even though I couldn't finish it.
Is it because you know that one day you'll reach down deep inside and find that well of strength and courage within yourself to finish it?
I have considered going back.
He doesn't know how to increase his courage.
I've forgotten like all the buttons.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me prime you. Anything. Right bumper is attack because that makes the most sense. That's the best button for that function to be on.
Oh God! Best performance by a human female, Melissa Hutchinson as Clementine in The Walking Dead. Sure. Musical score, Journey, dig it. Best graphics, Halo 4. That is a crazy category. It's 2012.
It's a crazy category, but I think that's about right.
I cannot believe that best graphics did not go to a PC game, because it seems like if you're calling it best graphics, it would probably go to the console or the system platform
that
has the best graphics. That's just like a from me to you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Best DLC is the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Dawnguard.
Yeah, that DLC was not good.
Oh, by the way, when I forget who the celebrity was that announced the award, they definitely said Dawnguard. Oh, and then they looked out into the audience at somebody and like smiled, and it made me think that like he had made a bet with somebody. I bet you won't say Dawn Guard on the stage, and then he totally did, and then he gave him a smile like, I did it, Jerry. I did it for you.
That sounds like a Saints Row DLC pack.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to bring up the one trailer that seemed to have everyone a Twitter, which was the Phantom Pain trailer. And I will admit that the moment that I realized that it was a Metal Gear Solid trailer, my interest dropped precipitously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of a bummer.
Guys, do you want to know what it was like there? Do you want the hard truth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know how it felt? One, everything was on fire. They kept lighting the stage on fire, and it was very hot. Two,
this
everyone
is,
was
to be clear,
drunk.
Like at they the were, event. You were
you
in
were
the
at
audience.
At the
event. I was in the theater. Everybody was drunk out of their minds. Like, I have never seen that group of people in such a confined space that drunk. And what they would do is they had these people who would come by with beers, and if your cup was more than halfway empty, they would take it out of your hand and they would replace it with a full cup.
What would they do with the chaff?
And I don't know, probably give it to the swill, like the pig swills.
Mm. Just take it out to the red carpet and throw it into the audience.
Or the seat fillers.
Yeah.
And you never see, like, the bottom of a cup, so you lose count, and everyone was just gone.
Yeah.
Were you gone, or were you working?
I was working. I was busy tweeting. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
But...
no, I had my show that night. I had
you don't actually have to be drinking. Even though they give you free drinks, Chris, you don't have to drink it.
I know. I didn't drink at all.
That's like a fun tip, too. If you're at a party, that's also a fun tip that you should follow.
You don't have to drink.
Yeah. Do you have to give up your three-month coin now?
Oh, no. Never. Wow. Here's the final thing. So the after party was sponsored by Konami because of Phantom Pain or whatever. Though they didn't, people were like wearing Phantom Pain shirts, but they were covering them up. It was all very.
And they were wearing Konami people were wearing Moby Dick shirts, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, but the worst part about it was the waiting staff who was wearing nothing. I'm into some PR events where you like go around and they do the sexy lady kind of like Hooters-esque thing, and everyone kind of shuffles around uncomfortably. But this was literally women in negligee only. Like, it was just, it was just, like, off-the-rack lingerie.
You know what would have been cool is if they were amputee victims as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been so Kojima.
And their negligee was only there to sort of exhibit their missing parts.
Yeah.
I, like...
But all I could think of was that hashtag. Like, one reason why... Yeah. And that pretty much summed it up, because no women were there. Other than the ones that were working.
Other than the ones that had been paid. Like,
there were publicists that had to be there, and then just, like, tons of guys just, like, drinking really gross orange soda cocktails and just ogling.
I will say that this VGA's, as a sum total, is not the worst VGA's I've seen. I think that it has gotten a lot better in terms of like being less cringe inducing and
being
more inclusive. Yeah, I mean, it's not the year
moved
where
it all to the after party.
They didn't fucking paint the winners on the stomachs of bikini clad women. Like,
oh my god,
that was, yeah, that was about that. Or lower them from the ceiling in Victoria's Secret Angels outfits. Like,
yeah,
we weren't.
I would
there.
Also say I don't think there's a better way necessarily, or a much better way to televise a video game award show and still make it like watchable. Like, they're sort of at a wall here.
Certainly not on Spike. And also, no, I think that there is a lot more room to move away from the fucking Limp Bizkit. Not Limp Bizkit. Who was the performer? You saw them live, Chris Plant. Who was it? It's Medal of Honor.
It was Linkin Park. Doing a masterful tribute to the troops. Mm-hmm. The audience was, let me say, bored.
Okay.
Is that the best we can do for our fighting men and women?
Oh, God.
Okay, listen, we need to get into the meat of this. This is enough of a diversion. We have to talk about which game is going to be our super secret, super sweet, special wild card.
Hey, how about before we do that?
Oh, my God.
I understand how excited you are. How about I just list what games are going to be in it so far so everyone can just get all this. All right.
That's a good idea.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we have, and this is by no means an order of priority.
Right.
No. Because we're starting with Max Payne.
Nope.
SSX.
Nah.
Save it.
Journey.
Save it. Save it.
Yeah, this is not the venue.
Do you want? You're not going to honk after all
just
of them.
Just go for it. Okay, just list
Journey,
them.
Halo 4.
Halo 4.
Black Ops 2.
Our proudest moment.
Go on.
Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah.
XCOM Enemy Unknown. Dishonored.
Love it.
Far Cry 3.
Mm-hmm.
FTL. Splunky.
Get in there.
Walking Dead.
Okay.
It's a good Hotline list. Miami.
Hotline Miami.
Yep.
Borderlands 2.
Love it.
Yep.
Mass Effect 3.
Good.
So let me start here. Here are the games that were on our fan list that did not make the cut. Dragon's Dogma.
Sure.
Fez.
Fez got close.
Fez got close. Sleepy Dogs.
Oh,
Spec Sleepy Ops.
Dogs.
Mass Effect. No. That one. Mark of the Ninja. Tales from Space. Mutant Blobs Attack. Dikembe Mutombo's 4.5 Weeks to Save the World. Which, yes. By the way, if you have not been dipping into that,
oh, it's lovely.
You're out of your mind.
Say some magnifique. It is the best. Need for Speed Most Wanted, Super Hexagon, Diablo 3.
Diablo 3 got, I'm looking at it now,
votes.
It got the least amount of votes.
It got the least
that's
amount of votes.
That's
pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
It got beaten by a Vita launch title.
Right.
Dragon's Dogma beat Diablo 3.
Right.
Now, does Dragon's Dogma... I would like to submit that Dragon's Dogma is the best.
Okay.
Do you want that to be your game?
It is my favorite game of the year.
Oh,
yes.
My God. I can't believe you've done this.
Dragon's Dogma is my favorite game of the year, and it would be the game that I would pick to add to this list. I think it is magnificent. And...
What was the name of your slave child?
What?
Oh, what was Special Boy. Special Boy.
I would like to put forward the premise that... This disqualifies Justin's taste
for anything ever
rest
again.
From the rest of the entire besties, that we no longer give him an equal vote.
I didn't say it was the best game of the year. I said it was my favorite.
I wanted to go here with you, Justin.
Did you play it, Griffin?
I got it in Gamefly. I so badly wanted to go with you, and I just couldn't. I could tell that there was a lot of fun shit there, and I loved the demo. But there is so it is the and coming from somebody who has beaten Dark Souls twice in the past year, it was the most inaccessible video game I think I've ever played.
Yeah, it's not fair. You know, it's just it's much like the works of Wagner. It's not for everybody. You know,
I guess that's
it's
true.
It's like caviar. Mm-hmm. It's an acquired taste.
It's like a fine stinky cheese, except that cheese is inside of four nested safes, and you have to get through those to get to the.
I don't know. I really liked it, and I know that it's not going to have much of a chance here. But it was the game that touched me the most.
Okay.
And I felt lucky to have it in my life.
Fresh Stick, do you want to go next? Because I'm pretty sure Plant and I are going to bring the same thing.
Okay. I am going to go next, and my pick from this list, because I would say, Spelunky was probably my favorite game of the year, but that's already in the list. So of this list, I'd probably pick Mark of the Ninja.
Really?
Yeah. Honestly, from a core stealth mechanics standpoint, it's probably the best, one of the best, if not the best stealth game I've ever played. It is so tightly wound to perfection in terms of you knowing what everything you're doing, what they're going to hear, what they're going to see, taking on a room filled with bad guys and feeling like a badass while you're doing it. Cool story, good writing, really cool graphics, just baller all the way. I love this game.
I've only played the demo, but I didn't know it was that rad. But it was if Borderlands 2 had gotten a few fewer votes.
That's right. It was right behind Borderlands 2.
It was our fourth runner up. I'll have to go back and play it, but unfortunately, the game that we are going to put forward.
Okay, hold on one second. Before you say the game, I'm going to make a suggestion.
Okay.
Because I want to avoid what's about to happen.
Oh, okay.
And I think there's a way to do it. I think there's an easy way to do it.
Are you going
to
filibust us?
I am.
Okay.
Let me start by saying
about the game you haven't played?
Aaron Aronson.
Okay.
Aaron Bethelstein. This is me reading from the phone book.
I got you.
No, so what I would suggest is I think we can all agree that the Yes, it's a Jewish phone book.
Every name's great in your Jewish phone book.
I want to remind us the only reason that SSX made it into the game of the year is because we thought it was funny that you could play with your dead father.
Right.
That was the only reason.
It was a weird show at the beginning. I remember.
That's what it was. We were essentially picking games to make it to the game of the year just because it was funny to think of one.
Are you
concept.
Trying to overthrow SSX to try and get two games?
No, you're, it's not going to happen.
So this is what I would suggest. This is what I would suggest. I honestly think, because SSX has zero chance.
Hear him out, because
less than zero.
The three of us hate SSX, and you're the only one who likes it. There's no way it's going to win.
I would be absolutely in favor of saying Need for Speed would take SSX's slot in our game of the year. You know, Besties is about constantly changing the rules,
I love this move because Plant, like, you know it's going to be in there. You know it is, and it's going to be kind of anticlimactic to just, of course it's Need for Speed. Of course.
SSX is not a good game. It's not even the best SSX game.
It's a great game.
It's not. Plant, trust me, it's not very good. Let's do this. I love this idea. Frustrating.
I think it's great.
SSX, you're out.
You're out.
Now wait.
See ya.
We need to decide this officially. Wait, I want to hear the rest of the Fresh Take proposal.
So you and Chris Plant can now pick whatever games you'd like.
And this can actually be an actual decision instead of course.
And guess what, Plant? If you want to, you can make your game SSX.
Okay, so I think you made a great point. So I'm going to get rid of Persona 4, and I'm going to add in Sleeping Dogs because I like that game.
No.
But the problem is that
that's how it works.
The problem is that Persona is a good game. That more than one person on the show likes.
Okay, right. Here's what I'm going to do then. I'm getting rid of Max Payne 3 and I'm replacing it with Sleeping Dogs.
Now, here would be my argument.
Because no one on the show likes Max
here's
Payne
my
3.
Argument.
I kind of liked it.
I think that at this point, I don't think, now that we've asked readers like to vote on these things, mm-hmm. I don't think that we can now go back and change the lineup because that eliminates the possibility that they would have all voted for us.
I'll give you that. But listen to this.
You couldn't even say that with a straight
face. What do we care more about? Keeping it honest for the readers or keeping it sexy and hot and unpredictable? What are they going to do next? They don't fucking know what we're going to do next. We're going to get rid of one of the games that we said we were going to take in.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
I'm making an offer, a counter offer, if you will. Need for Speed Most Wanted takes the random wild card slot. That has nothing to do with
anything. I strongly oppose that.
Here we go. One that takes the wild card slot. So that's our 16. We get rid of SSX, but the only option is Dikembe Mutombo's 4.5 weeks to save the world.
What does that mean?
That's what we replace it with. I will get rid of the game that I love, but in return I get to choose its replacement.
I don't think that the Dikembe Mutombo is a very good game.
I would like to pick a game that's like has a chance of maybe winning.
Fine, Sleeping Dogs or Mark of the Ninja. You guys really took the oomph out of me.
I'm sorry, Chris.
I see what they're saying. I understand the point that SSX, there's no planet on which SSX could even make a run at this thing.
Even on SSX planet where it's all snowy and mountainous, it would not win.
Yeah, are you saying that on a planet where the denizens are exclusively SSX fans, it could not win in this contest?
People on SSX planet would be like, actually, did you play Sleeping Dogs? I liked it. It had a bold vision of the future of Hong Kong.
I'm sorry, Chris. I would be okay with
replacing SSX with Need for Speed Most Wanted because they're both racing.
Yeah, and they're both made by EA, and they're both basically the same game.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we're gonna do this, there's a right way to do it. We get rid of that slot. We then bump up the list of user voted games to 4. So that means Hotline Miami, Mass Effect 3, Borderlands 2, and Mark of the Ninja.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
And then we vote in the wild card, which will be Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too.
I mean, 6.5. It's essentially what I was hoping for anyway.
Okay. I think that's good. Now,
honestly, our podcast is like jazz. You never know where it's going.
It's all about the games we don't choose.
And the people who say they like it are lying.
Are we games you're going to go back and play more of?
I still haven't played Need for Speed. Chris Plant is going to loan me his copy tonight.
Oh yeah, you got to get that.
So that's definitely a big one. I'm trying to see what of this list I have not played.
I am really it's a treat to pizza.
I've played everything else.
Justin, you really? Just
Hotline
into
Miami. I haven't played Hotline Miami.
You just got into Need for Speed like today, right?
I played like 5 hours of it.
You grooving,
you called it a treats of pizza?
It's a treats of pizza. They were right about that one. Good. I like it a lot. Can I ask you guys this? Is it when I get furious at it, mm-hmm. is that because I need to get a different car?
Or I think that means you need to be fast as well.
It's because the rubber banding in the game is awful.
Yeah, it's not very good.
You need to be both fast and furious.
There's this atrocious. One. There is this one. Like the way you go climb up the ranks is you beat these like 10 supposedly like baddest raddest cars, mm-hmm. and the second one I took on was this like old looking jam, and basically I had souped up my car to the point where I know that like flat out I was probably 30% faster in this car. Like there were several times where we were in sort of a dead heat and like I was blowing its doors every time, but the moment I would get in front of it, it would keep pace with me like perfectly. There's no reality in which it should be able to keep up with me. And I found that infuriating because it almost makes it so you don't care about how the race goes, because in the end, it's all about the last 30 seconds of it anyway.
Yeah.
Justin, did you blow its doors to completion?
I blew its doors to completion. So I'm going to go back and play more of that. I want to play some more Mark of the Ninja, and I think I'm going to play some more Hotline
Griffin,
Miami.
Seriously. It's hell.
Yeah, I'll get Mark of the Ninja. I'll get up on Hotline Miami.
Those I need are the to only two Hotline that Miami I. Well.
Chris, anything played. That you still need to dip into?
I'm gonna get some more Halo 4 and Borderlands 2 in.
Oh yeah, I need to play some more.
I'm
Halo
not gonna
4.
Play the rest of Mass Effect 3. There's no way in hell. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all right.
It's not
probably not gonna win anyway.
Yeah, it's probably not going. Hey, so I want to tell the readers about what the next step is. Okay.
Oh, exciting.
So, we are going to publish this list of the top 16 games, and much like sports, you guys are going to vote on which one you think has the best chance, and we'll use that to determine the seeding. So, when we do our, and then on Tuesday morning, we're going to be, this is very exciting, we're going to be shooting a super duper year-end video special where we will figure out which game reigns supreme.
Griffin and Justin are trekking all the way to New York City,
mm-hmm.
land of hot dogs and Jewish people.
Why is it always that to you?
It's always that with you.
Because there are a lot of Jews here. What can I say?
So make sure you vote before Tuesday morning on which one you think stands the best chance of winning. Try to take your own personal feelings out of it. Then we will use that for our seeding. So much like in sports, the number one game will go against the number 16 game, and so on and so forth.
We'll also use it to settle ties. So hopefully we won't have – hopefully cooler heads will prevail in every debate, and we will be able to suss that out ourselves. But if not, we may have to drop back and punt. The Chris Granitron is broken. I threw it at the wall, and so it can no longer help us to crack those particular walnuts.
If you want to contact us to tell us that our way of doing this is dumb, this must be your first episode of our show. We do not care. Do not care that you think it's dumb.
Thank you guys for sticking with us to this point.
Yeah, this we will made be it. Our season and perhaps series finale.
It's been a turbulent, ever-changing ride here on the Besties, but
I think let's say experiment. Mm-hmm. It's been an experiment.
When we started, people said this is impossible, but then more people said no, this is just kind of dumb. And this
and then when,
maybe a
that's
podcast
what they said when we started.
Maybe a podcast solely about arguing won't be pleasant to listen to. But we proved those people. We proved them.
Yeah,
that's what they said when we started, and then when we stopped, they said, "Is that still on?"
I miss it.
Now
you need it.
I stopped listening. I don't enjoy listening to it, but I'm sorry to see that it's ending.
Like, it's like your wife, and she has that snore, that snore that she does, but then she leaves you, and you can't sleep anymore because you miss that snore. That's what we are to people.
That's what Christmas shoes is about. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to vote. Go to our forums, and you'll find that in the meta section of the Polygon forums. And while you're there, why not go to polygon.com and just read everything? There's this really cool new Double Fine feature we just put out that is actually two features on one page, and you can hover. You'd see it.
It's like a box of nerds. You know how they split up the nerd boxes into two flavors, and you choose.
And sometimes they mix at the bottom because the cardboard's not down all the way.
Cardboard's really shitty, and it gets wet from all the sugary syrup.
And your tongue sticking in the holes. Tongue
sticking in holes, and your dad is like, "Get out! Get that out of there! What are you doing?"
And he, but I kind of like it.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, yowzers.
So that's the end. Make sure to join us again on whatever day this video goes up.
It'll probably be next Friday.
For the besties.
Yeah, next Friday.
Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games? Besties!